Can you imagine visiting an existing country through a totally digital landscape? Well, this is what has been proposed by the Pacific nation of Tuvalu. At the COP27 summit this past month, the island nation announced that as a worst-case scenario, it plans to create a version of itself that will exist in a metaverse as a solution to the threat of climate change to preserve its unique environment and culture. But how exactly will this digital nation be experienced? And is digital innovation a sufficient solution to climate change? To discuss this plan for Tuvalu, I'm joined by Dr. Nick Kelly, Senior Lecturer in Interactive Design at the Queensland University of Technology. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Hi, Fiona.
So can you explain this proposed metaverse and what a metaverse even is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the metaverse is a word I'm sure your listeners have been hearing about a lot. It's shorthand for what the future of the internet might look like. And many of us have seen the internet move from something that's based on text to something that had a lot of images to now something that has a lot of video. And it's an idea of what might the future internet be if the internet was spatial. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm sure you're familiar with ideas of virtual reality. So think, you know, wearing virtual reality goggles and in 3D immersive environment. Virtual reality or augmented reality, which is overlaying things over the physical world that you see around you. So an example of that is the way that I think IKEA has an app that lets you place furniture in a room virtually to see what it looks like before you actually have to do it in the real world. So by having things happen in the virtual world and augmenting reality, you end up creating overlays of new experiences on top of reality. And if you have an internet of all of those kinds of things connected into each other, then the name that they're giving that is metaverse. Although, of course, there's a complicating factor here, which is that Facebook rebranded themselves to Meta as a bit of an attempt to try and almost brand themselves as the metaverse. So it gets a little bit confusing in that respect.
So what does it mean to have a Tuvalu metaverse?
Right. So if we've got this this particular vision of the future in which people are spending time in virtual spatial worlds, and I should add, people are already doing that in many ways in video games today. This is just an idea where that may become far more widespread. And so this story about Tuvalu is very much about climate change, and the idea of Tuvalu being in the metaverse is saying, well, what would it mean if a country were to try and recreate itself digitally? And of course, their motivations for doing that are about the possibility of losing their land to rising sea levels in the physical world. And they're asking the question, what would it mean if we created a 3D virtual replica of as much as possible as we can of our nation? So that's the natural beauty, but also have it possible for people to spend time in that environment virtually, to interact with each other, so to have cultural experiences and keep the culture of their nation alive, and also to have some of the functions of a nation continue. So countries do all kinds of things. They have sovereignty over land and they interact with people's lives. What might that look like in a virtual world? Do you have a virtual Tuvalu passport for when you then travel in physical countries in the world? So there's lots of aspects to it.
As a senior lecturer in interactive design, what were your first thoughts when you heard of this proposal?
Well, actually, I first heard about this proposal through a news story. And my first thought was, why are they reporting this as being primarily about... It sort of sounded almost as though the reporter was excited about the idea of a country going into the metaverse. To me, this is all about the tragedy of the fact that we're already at a point where countries are losing their land to rising sea levels and to climate change. And so that was my first thought. And my second thought was, I wonder exactly what kind of vision the minister has for this. Is this a publicity stunt or is this a genuine proposal? And it's both after doing the research into it.
Yeah, it's such an interesting idea because on one hand, it's such a fantastic way to preserve history and culture for generations to come. But the reasons behind this proposal, because of climate change and they're worried about the island being there because of the rising sea levels, is really quite heartbreaking and devastating.
That's exactly right. And their minister, Simon Kofay, has been talking about the idea that they might not be the first nation that has to go online. And there's the very real possibility that there could be multiple nations that exist today that lose their land and that may try to continue online, not just as a kind of heritage place so that people can visit the past, but actually as a living nation where its citizens perhaps live in other countries that have land, but that are able to remain citizens of what's now only a virtual country. And as a concept, that's really quite scary that we could be moving into that world. But they're in the position of being forced to think about what that future might be like.
You're listening to On the Record, and we're joined by Dr. Nick Kelly and chatting about the proposed Tuvalu metaverse, which is a worst-case scenario plan to create a version of itself to exist in a metaverse. So what would the process be like to create a digital double of the island?
Right. So there's a lot of different ways to go from a landscape in real life. So in Tuvalu, there are a number of very beautiful islands in the Pacific, and there are ways we've got satellite technology, so that takes images of the islands or any landscape, and you can turn that into a three-dimensional landscape. There's a number of techniques like photogrammetry or LIDAR or other ways. And once you've got sort of this 3D replica of what the real world looks like, then it's about what functions do you allow people to do in that world. And that, of course, depends on the way that you code that environment and the possibilities for how people are going to interact. And there are a number of video games that people can play that give examples of ways that people can interact in 3D environments.
I can imagine it would take so much computing power and imaging to do all of this. How long theoretically would it take to computerize a country?
Right, so actually producing 3D models of a landscape are pretty straightforward these days to produce just the terrain to walk around on. And in fact, we're doing similar things in Australia. I know that Victoria and New South Wales, for example, are producing digital twins of certain parts of their state. And what that means is exactly this, of creating a 3D world that's very much the same as the real world so that you can test things out and run simulations. And a lot of governments around the world are using this idea of a digital twin, creating 3D worlds, because it's just in recent years become quite cheap and quite viable to do. Where things get really tricky is having lots of people interacting in one of these virtual spaces all at the same time. And that's very difficult to do and requires a great deal of computing power.
So is embracing digital technology a viable solution to the threat of climate change?
Right. I'm glad you asked that, because I think that's something that people kind of often do implicitly, is start talking about technology as a way to respond. So Tuvalu is threatened by climate change, rising sea levels. And so we talk about what things might look like in the metaverse. But this is a real mistake, because as everyone's aware, I think climate change is a problem of human consumption and all of the other things that are creating this crisis. And technology can sometimes be a distraction, because the words that we use, things like cloud computing, they sound very clean and sanitized, but there is actually a lot of consumption behind any technology. So already the internet uses something like 4% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions, and people tend not to be so aware of that. And it's projected that by 2025, the internet will use something like 20% of the world's electricity. And so while there are some ways in which technology can help to address climate change, things like people not traveling overseas to work when they can have a Zoom meeting, for example, that's kind of the exception. As a general rule, people are using the internet so much more than they did 10 years ago and doing things that are more intensive, like sharing videos. And so it's projected that if we just keep on using more technology as the response to climate change, we're just going to keep consuming more resources. To think about old servers that make the internet possible, send your data across the world, under the sea, as well as all of the hardware, the phone that might be in your hand and the computer that's powering the internet, all of those things contribute to the problem. So I see that technology is actually a huge part of the problem, as well as perhaps being one small part of a response.
It's quite interesting that you've made that point, because when we think of climate change, the average response is thinking about mining industries, oil and gas, and the bigger corporations, not so much the phone that's sitting in our back pocket that we use every day.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing with technology, is that the environmental cost is very hidden, in the same way that the companies remove any of the fingerprints from the workers who built your phone. The traces of the mining of components that go into your phone, all of that's completely hidden. And in the same way that the internet that you connect through every day, that has bits of information traveling all over the world, from here to North America to Asia, and all of that's powered by servers that are processing that data, performing computations, and all of that uses electricity. And when you start to get present to it, you realize quite how resource intensive that is. And to give an example, storing a file locally on a hard drive, which is what people did as a normal affair 20 years ago, nowadays people tend to store that same file in cloud storage through something like Google Drive or Microsoft OneDrive, for example. And that uses 20 times more computing power than just storing it locally. Or something like playing music. Instead of having your own file, people do things like stream Spotify every time they play that song. And all of this has meant an exponential increase in the amount of data that's flowing around the world, and it's not projected to slow down anytime soon. So yeah, it's a real problem.
So in talking about the environmental impact of technology, what would the environmental toll look like for running an island metaverse?
Right. So, I mean, Tuvalu is a small nation. They have a population of around about 12,000 people. So Tuvalu coming into the metaverse, and, you know, this idea of them coming into the metaverse is, hypothetical. But if they were to do that, it wouldn't be a huge amount of computing power on its own. A bigger issue is the idea of the whole world moving from the internet that we have today, which is largely based on text, images, and video, through to an internet where all of us every day, this is, you know, the world's 4 to 5 billion people who are on the internet, if we start interacting in 3D immersive environments instead of the internet as we know it, then that will be hugely computationally intensive. And so the metaverse, Tuvalu talking about joining the metaverse, is just one small indication of the fact that that might be a bit of an issue.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on the record this morning and walking us through this proposed island metaverse and what it might look like.
Thanks, Deanna.
That was Dr. Nick Kelly, Senior Lecturer in Interactive Design at Queensland University of Technology, telling us all about the proposed Tuvalu Metaverse, how it will work, and if it's even beneficial with the growing impact of climate change.